Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Molloy with Mick Molloy and Tony Martin.
And today, when's this election then? We put the big question to the Prime Minister, you know, Paul Keating. He's a Westie. Also today, we look at the government's ambitious plan to give every child an electric guitar by the year 2000. We've got spring racing carnival tips, and on Radio Gladiators, your chance to create some more believable excuses for those New South Wales cops accused of bribery. On Duet with Pete, we're going to solve all the world's racial problems. We're off to dinner with Prince Rainier of Monaco, and joining us live, the lead singer of Def Leppard, headbanger, footballer, legend, Joe Elliott. Yes, it's all coming up on the program where the hosts don't require a massive bribe from a Pakistani cricketer to play badly, Martin Molloy. What is
Hathaway, what is love? Good afternoon, Australia. Welcome to another round of Martin Molloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke, a man who today released the following statement to the press. The allegations against me are a joke. Sure, the footage shows me accepting $1,500 from a well-known police identity, but it was just an advance on my fee for performing my now-famous genital origami routine at this year's CIB Christmas party, one Mick Molloy.
It was a grant from the Minister for the Arts.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going on tour.
Is that going to be on ABC's review this week?
Absolutely. It's a bit highbrow for them, yeah. But we may get some interest.
Well, speaking of highbrow, let's get straight to, well, this segment, Mick Molloy's Celebrity Corner.
And thank you, one and all. And thanks for joining me again on this most prestigious of segments, Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Gracie on the piano. No surprise, he's a longtime partner of the wonderful Bernie Taupin. Anyway, let's get on with it. Well, are we in the middle of a federal election campaign or aren't we? Let's not muck around. Let's ask the man at the top, Paul Keating. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's this about an election?
It must be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah? Oh, we're due for one, are we? Let me just check the diary. Monday, campaign strategy meeting. Tuesday, approve campaign TV commercials. Make sure they don't mention the ALP. Wednesday, suck up to Andrew Denton and blatant attempt to sell my, well, human side to the voters. Make sure advisors complete research on humans before taping. Thursday, meet the people, see what they look like, file for reference. Friday, further campaign strategy meetings. Nothing here about any election.
Now, let's go back to those TV ads. You're running commercials promoting ALP candidates in 9 marginal seats.
Are we?
Yes, but many of the ads contain virtually no reference to the ALP. Is that because you're trailing so far behind in the polls?
Did I mention I'm a Westie?
Sorry?
Oh, I'm a Westie, Mick. A battler. I love spending all my spare time, hanging out at Shopping Town, consuming slabs, and enjoying something called the footy. Come on, the Magpies.
I see.
Hey, Kim, where's the Shopping Town? Is it a marginal? Who's our candidate?
Mr. Keating, these TV commercials.
Oh, look, we're not trying to hide the fact that they're ads for the ALP, Mick. We're just trying to inject a bit of mystique into the commercials, like those Calvin Klein ads. Have you seen our one for the candidate in Bendigo?
Mm-hmm.
He's stripped down to his jocks while a sexy off-screen voice says, "What's your policy on immigration? What do you think about export tariffs?"
So it's an election ad.
I'm a battler, Mick. Barkeep, 2 more cold brown ale beers and a packet of salted potato crisps.
Prime Minister, what about claims you're running a campaign of fear with regard to opposition policy?
Mick, unlike you or anybody else, I've seen some of their policies. Chemical castration for the unemployed, that's one. All children under the age of 12 not currently touring with successful rock bands will be forced to take work as chimney sweeps. The elderly, they'll be mining for basalt by next Christmas. Mm-hmm. People on sick leave, they'll be used as railway sleepers for the new interstate super train. And anyone with a physical disability will have their soul relinquished to Lucifer and be made to work in his satanic furnace of eternal torment. Either that or they'll be given jobs on the Channel 10 news desk.
And these are the policies the Liberals will be campaigning with come December 9th.
That's right.
So there will be an election on the 9th.
Crikey struth, is that the time? Gotta go, Cobber, or I'll be late with my, what's that word? Mortgage payment.
Mr. Keating, thanks for your time.
on your booty.
SAFM.
Martin Malloy. Apparently the young people like it on the new SAFM.
What I like about you, that's Romantics here at Martin Malloy, where, of course, all this month, it's Rockvember. But, Mickey, I believe you've got some exciting news from the rock world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tony, listen to this. The federal government have announced they're prepared to inject more money into the ailing rock music market to help young aspiring musicians at the grassroots level.
Oh, that's good.
And it's overdue. Yeah. It's overdue, isn't it? Apparently it's been done very successfully in Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, they put in about $5 million and got about $200 million return. And the government has gone, oh, we'll have a bit of that, thanks.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to work out what this is going to entail, Tone. Mm. Bands applying for grants? I mean, is that going to work? Most musicians I know have trouble applying for bail. How are they going to get their head round a grant application? And, well, unless they just get some of their teenage fans to write, "Can Peter Andre have a grant 20,000 times in the back of a school book?" I don't see how it's going to work myself. And who's going to take care of this from the government's end? Because, well, as far as I know, there's no Senator Iggy Pop or Minister Snoop Doggy Dog currently sitting on the government benches. Who have we got? Minister for Communications, Michael Lee. I don't think so. Minister for Communications, Tommy Lee. Hello. Now we're talking turkey. But Michael Lee, I've got the doubts. Nah. Not unless he's prepared to overhaul the image just a bit. Mm. You know, become the minister formerly known as Michael Lee, so to speak. Because we need a minister for rock. Yeah. What do we need?
A minister for rock.
I can't hear you.
A minister for rock.
Oh, right, guys. I think we get the point.
Two people trying to sound like 20.
A crowd, but that could be a Peter Andre crowd. Hey, knows. But with a few subtle changes, Michael Lee could be the minister for rock, and this is how we do it. As far as I can ascertain, he's your standard politician, isn't he? He's just a bloke in a suit.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see him cut his pants into shorts, get a school bag and a cap, and sit on the front bench, and when Parliament sits, just sit there banging his head, Angus Young style. It could be a good look. Could be a good look. Maybe at cabinet meetings, he could enter, you know, bite the head off a couple of bats, take his seat, and just before the meeting begins, he should go, "Ready, Paul?
Uh-huh.
Kim?
Okay.
Grinny?
All right.
All right, fellas. Meeting. I suppose that'd how it would work.
For those about to vote, we salute you.
For those about to vote, sure. We salute you. Write it down. We're on a roll.
Okay.
What else? I want to see him finishing his speech at the National Press Club by diving headfirst into the audience and only emerging then to find his duds have been swiped. I want to be walking down the street, see a telly impaled on the sidewalk, look up and go, "Ah, that must be where the Minister for Rock staying." I want to see people. I don't want to see them waiting out the front of his office in a chair.
No.
I want to see him on the ground in sleeping bags, waiting to see the Minister for Rock. When I'm looking at a photo of all the members of government and someone says, "Hey, who's the Minister for Rock?" I want to be able to point to the bloke on the end in the surgical mask, holding hand with the kiddies, going, "There he is. Have a good look. There's your Minister for Rock." Because I support it, Tone, and I support the government stand, and I support basically any government-assisted scheme designed to get musos out of the garage and into bed with Paula Yates.
The new...
Thanks very much, Coolio. On your son, that's Gangster's Paradise here at Martin Malloy.
It's springtime, people, and you don't have to be an avid punter to work out that means quality horse racing. And whenever there's quality racing, you can be sure that lots of people are going to be shouting at horses. So join in the fun and make a day of going to the racetrack and yelling your lungs out at some expensive horses ridden by midgets.
Go on, come on, there he goes, he's on the money, there he goes.
And after the race, why not retire to the bar for a cleansing ale while you work out which horse you're going to shout at next?
I'll have a light beer.
And I'll have a heavy.
Great. Which one do you think he's going to get first?
Heavy.
Nah, light.
Heavy.
Come
heavy.
On, light.
Heavy. Come on, heavy. Light. Go, light. Heavy. Go, heavy. Light. Go, light.
And there's always plenty to look at with our fashions on the field.
The
winner of this year's Fashions on the Field is...
The woman in the skimpy miniskirt.
No, the one in the stupid hat.
No, skimpy miniskirt.
Stupid hat.
Stupid hat. Stupid hat. Stupid hat. Stupid hat.
Enjoy time-honored traditions like losing your money.
Oh, I'm broke. How are we going to get home?
I might have a 20 left. Let's see.
Nah, you're broke.
I think I've got a 20.
Broke.
20.
Broke.
Come on, 20.
Broke.
20. Come on, 20. 20. Oh, no, I'm broke.
Hey! Looks like you're driving home then.
Oh.
So don't miss out on this year's Spring Carnival, where there's just heaps of non-stop shouting at things.
Could you blow into the bag, please, driver?
I can't, officer. I'm sober.
Drunk?
Sober.
Drunk?
I'm sober.
Drunk.
Come on,
drunk.
Sober.
Drunk.
Sober.
Drunk.
Sober.
Drunk.
Sober.
He's drunk.
Sober.
He's drunk.
Sober. Sober.
He's drunk.
You're over the limit.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm not going to go to jail, am I?
Could be a fine.
Jail!
Fine!
Jail! Come on, jail! Get that jail! Get that
fine!
Yes!
Fine!
That's Rock Melons with That Word here on Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiators is coming up soon, and then in the next hour...
I'm trying to do it quietly.
Could
I'm trying
that chair
to do it quietly.
Be any squeakier? Let's just hear a bit more of it. I'm quite enjoying it.
You have to reduce everything to the gutter, don't you, Mick Malloy?
I saw an opening and I just jumped in.
Oh, dear. Gee, this is...
frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, people who are just tuning in now.
Mm. What do they make of it?
This is the program we've heard so much about, is it? Mm.
No, I see. Is that how they conduct themselves, is it?
In the next hour, let me get to this. Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, he's going to be in. And we're only having him on because my mum won't stop saying, are you going to have somebody from Def Leppard on your program?
But it's three tenors, Def Leppard.
That's right. They're her favourites.
Forget the rest.
And Joe's going to be on board. And also, of course, the duet with Pete. Now, this is a competition we've been running all week, in case you're not listening.
It's more than a competition, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an event.
It is an event. It's the ultimate event on radio. It's Pete Smith in one corner, and it's you, the listener, in the other, just belting out a bit of a duet. And yesterday we had Blue Suede Shoes, and we had a fantastic performer on the line, young Shane.
Shane
belted out a terrific rendition, and he also dropped a couple of little catchphrases. Couple of little catchphrases that I want to incorporate into the program. Firstly, good luck.
Good luck.
He had that in there. He said something like, we said, where are you? He's going, oh, mate, I'm in the shower. Good luck. Just threw that in. And then later on, we asked him about his haircut, which hadn't gone very well. And he's gone, oh, mistake gone wrong. So I reckon, I want to get this Shane bloke, forget your Paul Keatings, forget your John Howard. Let's get this Shane bloke into, let's run him for PM.
He's obviously a wordsmith, so we want to exploit.
I want to send him around the world. I want to have him go to Chernobyl and come back and go, how was it? Oh, mate, mistake gone wrong. And did you go to Papua New Guinea and get the hat made out of beaks? Oh, you mate, hat made out of beaks, good luck.
But then what about the Octetti mine? Oh, mistake gone wrong.
So anyway, it's your chance to step into Shane's shoes and have a crack at a duet with Pete. Today, it's Ebony and Ivory.
Which I think Shane would attest is a good look.
It's a good look. But of course, if you bugger it up, it's a mistake gone wrong.
This is Martin Malloy.
It's Martin Malloy, where it's time to step into the cauldron that is...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, today we're creating fictitious or possibly fictional. I've got no idea. It's not true. It's a made-up scenario. And what it is, it's you are a policeman. You're a New South Wales policeman. You're captured on film in the back of a car, receiving a whole heap of cash from another policeman, right?
Right.
It's totally made up.
Absolutely.
It's not based on fact. And what's your excuse? Why are you getting the money? Now, we don't want stuff that's not believable, like, it was some race winnings that I was paying back. don't want stuff like... It wasn't me, it was an actor portraying me. Why would you get an actor to... Isn't that an elaborate scheme? Assuming this was like something that could really happen.
You get a body double.
Oh, right, okay.
Would you? Yeah, I don't know why you'd do that, Tone.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an explanation.
But it doesn't ring true. Neither of those two ring true to me.
No.
So,
yeah.
smelling a rat.
Well, I was going to say smelling porkies. Can I say that?
You're just trying to step through a legal minefield.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mick Malloy. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for an excuse. Okay, you're the cop, you're in the back, you've received the cash. What's the excuse? You got an example, Nicky? What would it be?
Oh, okay. I'd say we've ordered some McDonald's and we're currently waiting at the second window.
Oh!
And I'm just getting the money to pay the guy. And we've ordered quite a lot.
Yeah.
About 20 grand's worth. And, you know, it could be a while, so we're sitting there waiting.
Okay. What about this? Oh, it's the money that I'm going to have to pass on to Lucky Grill so that he can play me in the film of my life.
Something like that. Now we're talking turkey.
It could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Could be, you know, feed the meter. I'm double pumped. I need to feed the meter.
Yeah.
Give me that 18 grand.
Could be because I need, 18 grand to buy Choc Top at the movies.
Exactly.
So I think that's what they cost these days.
And, yeah.
That'll be it.
Okay. If we got out of trouble yet?
I think we're all right, aren't we?
Let's move.
What are we doing?
Let's move on to the prizes. It's, it's a Sonny Discman. It's brought to you by 4 and 20 Pies, the great Australian taste. Mm. And, of course, everybody on Gladiators this week goes into the draw for the Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Australian Open, the Ford Australian Open, not to be confused with the others. Now, what about this Ford Festiva? Is that the kind of car that you could be secretly photographed in, taking a bribe?
Not that it's a bribe! It's a loan repayment.
It's a loan repayment, Tone. No, it's the kind of car, like, that's where I'd be, if I owned a Ford Festiva,
yeah,
and I was sitting in it, some guy, if he was sitting in it too, he'd be offering me, you know, 18, 20, 30 grand, 100 grand, 200 grand to buy it off me.
You'd be saying,
nah, get real.
And you wouldn't notice that there was a cameraman down in the front filming you.
Because that's just how much leg room there is in the Festiva.
You get an echo back. And when you're sitting in the Festiva, you go, hello, 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 hello. Yeah. It goes on for hours. Because it's just such a vast cavern.
Much like this segment.
Call us now with your excuses on 1-800-657-657. Good thing that's Fine Young Cannibals on Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators, and today we've concocted a hypothetical scenario. Picture this. You're a New South Wales policeman. You're secretly photographed in the back of a cop car receiving some money from somebody else. What is your excuse? And it's got to be believable. That's what we're looking for. So who have we got, Mickey?
We've got Chris. G'day, Chris.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Now, you've been caught in a very sticky situation. What's your excuse, chumbly bum?
Well, I was in the back of the car playing Monopoly and I rolled double sixes and passed go and collected 20 grand.
Oh, so it's Monopoly money.
Yeah.
And you've got one of those little magnetic Monopoly sets.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
Yes, and I think you're about to turn over and get the go directly to jail card. I think you are. Okay, that's pretty believable.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I'll go with that. We're rolling.
Okay, Troy, what do you reckon?
I reckon you'd have to go the twin brother option and just sit there in court and sort of giggle and say, no, that's me twin brother because, like, once I dagged him in primary school and now he's just getting me back, can't you tell? And sort of giggle.
Right, and maybe it's a sort of evil twin, sort of Captain Kirk style.
Oh, definitely the evil twin for sure.
Yeah, is the evil twin defence commonly used these days, Mickey?
I don't know. I'm still trying to work out why, if you got dacked all those years ago, your brother's getting, like, 20 grand for it now. Is that your brother in the background there, Troy?
No, that's actually my son, and he's trying to put his hands in the freezer, so if you reckon that's a great excuse, why don't I explain to his mum why I'm on the phone and his hand's stuck in the freezer?
Well, I think you better go and avert disaster, Troy, but thanks for playing along today. Next up, we've got, I think it's Tien. Is it Tien?
It sure is. It's Tien from Canberra. How are you, Mick? I'm in a lot of trouble, aren't I?
Oh, what's happened to you?
Oh, it's sticky. Well, listen, I was actually just cleaning out my car, a bit of vacuuming, a bit of looking around down the middle of the seats and that, just found a bit of money.
Oh!
A bit of money in the ashtray, yes.
Cool.
Bit of money in the map, glove box everywhere, under the mat everywhere.
So you've just been cleaning out the car and you've come across a lazy 18 grand and and it just happens to be a policeman, a guardian of justice in the back of your car and you've gone, and
you've just reached out, you're on there, you're on camera, you've reached down the back of the chair and gone, oh, have a look at this, 20 grand.
Well,
that's
amazing.
More, can I have that?
I'm going to try out and do the other cars now.
Yeah, that's more believable than anything I've been reading in the papers this week, so thanks very much, Tim. And next up it's Matt. Matt, what's your story? Explain yourself.
Well, I was getting money out to pay the kids cleaning the windscreen. They don't take change.
You've been caught at the intersection and they've come out, they've done your windscreen. It's too late. They didn't even ask. They just did it. Yeah. And you've got to come up with a lazy 18, 20 grand.
Yeah. Because they don't take change.
Because you're just a really generous bloke, Matt.
Sure am.
Good on you, Matty.
Yeah, that's
very believable. I'm going with that. And when you finish your story next time, could you use the words, Your Honour? I was just cleaning the windscreen. Your Honour.
Yeah, just a tip there for young defendants.
Mm. Now, have we got, I think it's Greg. Greg, you've been sprung. What's your excuse?
Oh, yeah, I saw an armour guard van broken down.
Yeah.
And I stopped to have a chat with the guys. And they gave me the money and said, would I take it on down to the bank for them? Since they wouldn't be able to get there in time.
Right, so you're doing them a favour.
Yeah.
You're helping. You're helping the public. Yeah, the good people at Armageddon.
Down the bank, because that's the sort of guy I am.
We're in your debt, Greg. We looked at that, and, you know, anyone who's suspicious just needs a kick in the pants because you've come good. And not only are you not doing anything bad, you're performing a public service.
That's it. What are we here for?
Our nation's finest. Mm. There he is right there.
Greg. We've got time for one more, and stepping into the fray, it's Spiro. Spiro, what's your excuse?
I was about to have a meeting with Silent Malik, mate.
Oh, yes! I think we found our winner. On you, Spiro. It's as simple as that. You've got the Sonny Discman.
Beauty.
And
love it.
You've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva.
You beauty. Thanks, Phil.
There's plenty of room in the back. It's ideal for getting sprung by a hidden camera. And as for the Sony Discman, we'll just leave that in a brown paper bag in the third cistern along down at the railway station. You know, the usual drop point. Okay. Gotcha, Spiro. And thanks for playing along. Thanks to all our gladiators. I found all of those excuses thoroughly believable.
Absolutely.
And in the next hour, stick around, people. After the news, we'll be talking Def Leppard with Joe Elliott.
The sensational Adelaide Grand Finale.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, another duet with Pete, your chance to join Mr. C for a couple of verses of Ebony and Ivory. We'll pay another visit into the mind of Hugh Hefner, and that's always richly rewarding. But next up, we're talking with Joe Elliott from Def Leppard and Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Good Lord! That's Janet Jackson with Runaway. Here we are, people. We haven't forgotten you. Just having a bit of, guest installing problems here at Martin Malloy. But things are back on course. It's the second hour. It's time to welcome a bloke. Well, he's the man up front of Def Leppard, a band that's sold over 35 million albums. Count them worldwide. They've just released Vault. It's their greatest hits. Are they the biggest band on the planet? Well, if you don't think so, you can take it up with Joe Elliott. Joe Elliott, can you hear us?
Yes,
I can. How long have you been in Australia?
A day.
A day? Have you managed to get any football in so far?
No, but it's coming this afternoon.
What's going on?
Oh, we're
going
to have a game sometime this afternoon.
Who against?
I don't know yet. Doesn't matter.
And how do Def Leppard stack up in terms of the Rock and Roll League? Where are you on the ladder?
Relegation zone, probably.
Okay.
The last time we played down here, I remember we had a game and we were playing this... Like, they were like semi-professionals, they must have been. They were just too good to be DJs and media people. But they kicked off, and the guy shot straight from the kickoff and scored. It took like 3 seconds for the ball to go in, and we were already 1-0 down.
That doesn't sound like DJs. Most of the ones that work around here don't even get out of a chair unless they have to.
There were no chairs on the pitch.
Good. Now, another team that we've been reading about is something called the Def Leppard Stage Diving Team. What's that all about?
Ah, well, yes. When we were in the round,
right.
Certain members of the band, one of which I am not, fell off the stage. So they became the stage divers. I think it was Sav, Vivian, and it must have been Phil. It couldn't have been Rick. He was on his kit.
Well, we've got plenty of amateur stage divers right here in Australia. Don't worry.
We did an acoustic gig in Vancouver the other night. We had stage divers. Well, we were sat on stools playing acoustic guitars.
An acoustic gig. Jeez, someone's going to have a talk to that lot, aren't they? Hey, you've just done... Now, did I read this right? You did gigs on 3 different continents in the space of a weekend?
No, we did it on one day.
Oh, crikey. How did that happen?
We did 3 gigs, 3 continents, one day. We started off at midnight in Morocco.
Right.
That was the African continent. Then we did London in England at noon. And then we got over to Heathrow and took a jet over to Vancouver.
You'd have to be on your toes, wouldn't you, at the end when you're going, good
lots
night, Morocco.
Lots and lots of coffee.
Lots and lots of coffee.
That's what kept us going.
Now, Joe, the Big Vault album, it's a greatest hits package. It's out now. It's a pretty impressive collection. Have you sat down yourself and just listened to it from start to finish?
No, I haven't. But what I did do is myself and Phil Collin, the guitar player, pieced like the running order together.
Right.
And we made a cassette of all the songs just off CDs. And we'd listen to the last 30 seconds of one as it went into the other one.
All
and
right.
then speed it on, because you can't really. We've played these things live 1,500 times.
Sure.
Listen to it, you know. I can only really listen to my own music when I hear it on the radio, because for some reason, there's, I don't know, it's psychological. When you know that there's potentially millions of other people listening to it, you can actually stomach it, but I would never put it on at home.
Gotcha. What do you put on at home, Joe?
Right now,
bit of Mantovani?
If I was at home right now, I would be listening to the Foo Fighters.
Really?
Or some really old stuff like the Sensational Alex Harvey Band or
yes.
Hoople or something.
Yes, what happened to the Sensational Alex Harvey Band?
Well, unfortunately, the Sensational Alex Harvey died in 1979.
That's right.
The original backing band are playing around Scotland with a different singer, but they're still called the Alex Harvey Band.
The Sensational Alex Harvey-less Band.
Yeah.
Mind you, Freddie Mercury's just put out a new single, so there's still hope for them yet.
Joe, you've done some touring with Ozzy Osbourne. How'd you get on with him?
That was in 1981,
mm-hmm.
When Ozzy was a different Ozzy to what he is now.
a harder drinking Ozzy?
We sometimes go on his bus overnight and regret it the next day.
Well, we've got even more penetrating questions. Can you stick around for a while?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be back with more Joe Elliott in just a moment here on Martin Molloy.
S.A.M.
That's your Def Leppard right there with When Love and Hate Collide on
Martin Molloy.
And Joe Elliott's still with us. Joe, you still there?
I'm still here waiting to be penetrated once again.
Now, we've got a little article from the paper here and we want to read it out to you because this was in an Australian newspaper quite recently and it could be a load of rubbish, but we're going to throw it at you anyway. Listen to this story. Rock star Joe Elliott was baffled when he read press reports that his group Def Leppard's one-armed drummer, Rick Allen, had tried to strangle his wife last July. Now, what's going on there?
It's one of those situations where, you know the phrase, well, I caught a fish this big, and it's like, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep.
Yes, he had an argument with his wife. Hmm. Yes, it was at the airport. As for a one-armed man strangling anybody, it's kind of a little bit far-fetched. To say that it was blown out of proportion would be probably, a very true.
So he's never turned on you, Joe?
No, well, actually, me and Rick have had a few scraps in the past, but he always seems to win.
Yeah. Is that right? He's got a killer uppercut, has he?
Yeah, no, he's got two good feet, man. That's why we have him in the soccer team.
Just don't put him in goals.
No.
Now, Joe, I've been looking at your Vault album cover here, and there's a great quote from, who is Peter Mensch, by the way?
He's our manager, and has been since 1979.
He's your manager. Well, here's what he writes about you. He goes, the first time I saw them auditioning for a British tour with AC/DC, they were the worst live band I'd ever seen. The singer split his pants, the guitarists were out of tune, and the best musician was the drummer, and he was 15.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate description of Def Leppard circa 1979?
Damn right it is, yeah. Absolutely. We were awful, man. But we had enthusiasm, which kind of came through more obviously
ingredient
than the musicianship did. We were lucky because in 79, our competition were really awful too. Like, you know, all the punk stuff that was knocking around. As bad as we were better than they were, and they were selling records, so.
Yeah, and it was dangerously close to the Ultravox period, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. Oh, dear. Yeah, I forgot about them.
Yeah. When do you think it was that the band turned the corner? It's interesting to me that it took such a long time for you really to catch on in your own country.
Yes, it's true, but it was just down on radio, you know. The kind of music they were making at the time was, it was accessible in America just for the fact that they've got, like, you know, 24-hour rock and roll radio stations,
right.
Two per city. And in England, there's a two-hour-a-week rock show. So consequently, to get on top 40 with a rock song back then was really tough.
Now, Joe, there's a remarkable amount of bizarre stories connected with Def Leppard. What's your connection with the Lockerbie Air disaster? Is there some story there?
Yeah, I didn't actually know about this on myself till about a year ago, but apparently somebody, when we were releasing Rocket as a single off the Hysteria album back in 88.
Yeah.
They were sending the master tapes over to New York to press it up from London. And when the plane went down and crashed and whatever, they found, apparently, buried in a wall in a building, the master tape for a Rocket. It was, like, embedded in the concrete. So, obviously, we must have sent another one over because it did get released as a single, eventually.
And where is that tape now?
I don't know. It's possibly still buried in that wall. I don't know. Somebody must have dug it out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's in some kind of, like, sad museum or something.
No, that's something for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if you ask me.
Yeah, it would be, actually.
Jay, you've toured with some amazing people. As we said, Ozzy Osbourne and AC/DC. Is there any young bands today that you're particularly fond of?
The Foo Fighters, I think, is brilliant. I actually like the Silverchair album as well.
Right, because you were about that age when you were starting out too, weren't you?
Well, Rick was. I was about 17. Rick was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it fascinating that the three of them combined are 2 years younger than Steven Tyler.
Oh, no. Now, Joe, when are we going to see the Leopard Machine back down here in Australia actually playing?
About June or July of 96. We've got a new album coming out in May called Slang.
Well, thanks for your time today, Joe.
Pleasure.
And all the best with the new album and tour.
I'll see you next year.
Okay, thanks, Cheers. Joe.
See you, bud. Bye. SAFM.
Wrong, that's Pretenders here on Martin Malloy. Thanks to Joe Elliott from Def Leppard for popping by. Mm. And he's out on the soccer field, I think, now.
As we speak. He seemed keen, didn't he?
He had the shorts on and everything, but sadly we were unable, with his soccer commitments, we weren't able really to get him to have a crack at this.
Have you ever dreamed of singing a duet with one of the greatest voices of the century? No, I'm not talking about Frank Sinatra, Luciano Pavarotti, Kurt Cobain, or Gary Sweet. It's me, Mr. Copperard, Pete Smith.
Well, it's one for the money.
Two for the show.
Three to get ready.
Now go, cat, go.
But don't you
step on my blue suede shoes.
Well, you can do anything.
But stay off of my blue suede shoes.
Simply by calling Martin Malloy and performing a duet with Pete, you can realize that dream and bag yourself a fabulous prize. Firstly, every performer gets the Die Hard prize pack featuring Die Hard with a Vengeance on home video. You remember Die Hard with a Vengeance? It's the one with all the explosions. Then, if your duet scores more than 5 out of 10 from our judges, you're in the draw for that brand new Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. Today's selection is Ebony and Ivory. Bags me be Stevie Wonder.
Okay, Pete, we'll think about that, because I think there's going to be a fight for the sunnies, really, with this one.
Mm.
Who's it going to be? Well, firstly, whoever it is, I think you know what you need. Get the pen and paper, people. Come on. Off you go. No, don't just sit there having a laugh at the music. Go and get the pen and paper.
That's it, over there. Warm. Warmer.
No. Check it, because I don't think that one's working. Check it, just try it out, you see? Now give it a shake. Turn it upside down, I think it's the woman's
clothes fall off.
It's got the bikini thing out. That'll move. Okay, back. Have you got the paper? Now go back for the paper. Now you've got the paper, yes. Oh, we made it to the end of the track. I was wondering how it ended, and I suspected it may have ended that way, and you've confirmed my suspicions. Good on you, Gracie. Now, you've got your pens and paper. Do you want to play Stevie Wonder or Paul... Is it Paul McCartney,
I think?
Yeah, so choose first, and then Pete will be the other one. It's as simple as that, but you must write the lyrics down. So call us now, 1-800-657-657.
The news.
Welcome back to Martin Malloy as we step into the Vegas lounge and invite somebody to have a crack at a duet with Pete. Who is it today, Mickey?
It's Diane. Are you there?
Yes.
How are you?
Yeah, really good, thanks.
That's the way. You'll be better soon once you've duked it out with the master, Pete.
Now, Diane, have you ever worked with Pete Smith before?
No.
But it's obviously been a dream.
Oh, yeah, it's been my fantasy.
Okay, now, do you think, do you know Ebony and Ivory very well?
Well, I've got the words here, yeah.
Because it's a bit of a challenge. It's a bit tougher than Blue Suede Shoes, which we had yesterday. We had Shane on board yesterday. And if I can use a couple of Shane's catchphrases, this can go two ways. It can either be good luck, or it can be mistake gone wrong. So are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, show band, fire it up!
Ebony and
ivory.
Live together in perfect harmony.
Side by side on my piano keyboard.
Oh Lord, why don't we?
We all know
people are the same wherever you go.
Hang in there, Diane.
There is good and bad in everyone.
We learn to live, we learn to give each other.
What we need to survive.
Together alive.
Ebony and ivory.
Live together in perfect harmony.
Side by side on my piano keyboard.
Lord, why don't we?
Lord, Lord, Lord.
You know, I never said I could sing.
But at least you were enjoying yourself, Diane.
Now, let me get this straight, Diane. I thought that was a fantastic rendition, but I can't remember Paul McCartney giggling like a schoolgirl throughout the entire version of the song. You know, doing a line and having a cack.
Mind you, that Stevie Wonder wasn't saying piano, so that could explain it.
You've got me there.
Now, well, firstly, Diane, you know you've got the Die Hard prize pack.
Yep.
That's Die Hard with a Vengeance and all manner of accoutrements with the word Die Hard written on it.
And you probably shouldn't expect too much more than that.
What's the score?
Oh, like more than a two. Yeah. And that was largely for Pete.
Okay. Well, I'll raise it up to a three, but I'm afraid... sorry, Diane. You won't be going into the barrel, into the dip, into the cauldron, the furnace, the steamboat, the hothouse, the maelstrom from which someone will emerge as the driver of the Ford Festiva come November 17th. But you can sit around at home, turning up your telly and watching stuff explode to your heart's content with Die Hard with a Vengeance on video.
Great.
Okay, okay, fair enough.
Off to Johnny Young Talent School for you, Diane.
Well, thanks for playing along anyway today, Diane.
No problem.
And we'll be back with possibly our most ambitious duet tomorrow, right here on Martin Malloy. Sophie B. Hawkins with As I Lay Me Down here at Martin Malloy, where I'm afraid the show's about to turn ugly. That's right. If you've just had something to eat, or if you're just about to have something to eat, now's a chance to maybe, just for a couple of minutes, maybe put the bins out. Maybe you've got something to do. Maybe it's a good chance to go and, you know, clean out the backyard or something. Just because we're just setting you up because, well, we've had a lot of calls, a lot of people complaining about our reluctance to go in hard against Mr. John Major, because, as you know, John Major's come out and basically given nuclear testing the thumbs up, hasn't he?
That's correct.
That's what he's done.
He's in cahoots with that little...
Chirac
man.
Yeah.
He's part of the team. But there's nothing much we can do about it. But for all those people I've called, there is someone we can put you onto.
Want to send a message to British Prime Minister John Major for all his unbridled support for French nuclear testing, but can't quite crystallise your thoughts into words? Then give us a call here at Interfeces, and we'll bung a turd in a paper bag, set it on fire, and lob it onto the Prime Ministerial doorstep. Here's how it works. Pick up the phone and place an order with our London office.
Hello, Interfaces.
Yeah, I'd like to send a message of thanks to John Major.
Uh-huh.
Would you be able to knock something up for us?
Yes, what would you like?
Something steamy.
Right, anything else?
Yeah, could you make it highly viscous?
Not a problem. We'll punch something out within the hour.
We then give your order to our team of experts who set about devising an appropriate arrangement.
A little to the left. A little more. Okay, now wiggle your hips, lad. See if we can't get that Mr. Whitby look. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let her rip. Stand back, everyone! Stand back!
Once your generous gift has been dumped and bagged, one of our Interfeces drivers will jump behind the wheel of our famous turdmobile and deliver your unequivocal message piping hot to the PM's door.
Hello? Oh, look at the size of that. Oh, somebody spent a fortune.
So go on, give us a call at Interfeces and relax safe in the knowledge that a steaming pile of number twos is on its way to number 10. Remember, if you want your message to leave a tear in the eye and a sting in the nostrils, say it with feces.
Come on, you lot. Get on with it. These turds were due out of here hours ago. Come on, push. We'll be here all night if you don't stop parking a few loads. You want something to read?
That's Baby Baby by Corona here on Martin Malloy. Oh,
pardon me, whatever then. Did your voice break?
Yes, I think it might have.
What? Hey, whoa, yes, Mr. Pumpernickel.
That's right, I'm just going to run around hitting you with pillows for the next 5 minutes. That's the end of the program. Whoops, Lady Bracknell's in here.
I say, Vicar.
But enough of the bedroom farce. That's really, we don't want to go there. I mean, we've had the John Major sketch. I don't think we have to go any lower than that.
I think, it speaks for itself.
Now, what about Rolf Harris? Just before we go, there's a story about Rolf in the paper today, and I know everybody's always keen for a bit of Rolf news. Listen to this.
Yes, me old buddy.
Well, Rolf once yelled at John Lennon for ruining his show. Did you know about this?
Hang on. John Lennon ruined Rolf's show.
Yeah.
There's a break with tradition. Normally, Rolf does that.
Okay. But I love the description of him. The bearded celebrity. Wouldn't you want to be known as that? And please welcome bearded celebrity Rolf Harris.
That's what John Lennon was saying. Hey,
Beardo! I'm going to get Rolf on this program just so I can introduce him as, please welcome, bearded celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, he was once appearing with the Beatles, you remember them, at a show in, well, London somewhere, and he was rudely interrupted. Rolf recalls, John had a microphone off stage one night and was mucking about, making comments during my act and wrecking it. After the show, I stormed into his dressing room and said, if you want to mess around with anybody else's act, fine, but don't mess with mine again. And, gee, John Lennon would have, he would have had those ears ringing and, you know, imagine that if you'd just gone him like that. And you're wearing, and the bloke's got a third leg happening.
Well, that's what he does.
He's got a wobble board under one arm.
That's what he does, Tone. Like, if you upset him, he's liable to turn up. You'll be a knock on the door, and he'll be standing there, and he'll have all three legs on. And what he does is he kicks your ass, but he kicks it with a third leg. So he's standing there pushing the button, just going, don't ever do that to me again. Whop.
And it's just going, that sort of boxing style.
That's what it is. Yeah. Don't mess around with Rolf.
But you can see why the Beatles just, stopped touring. Because this was about that time. That would have been why. They would have never have gone on stage again after messing with the master, Rolf. And you've worked with Rolf Harris, Mick.
I have worked on stage with Rolf Harris at my one and only ever, what do you call it, Dash for Cash? what do they call them? There's a name for them. They're actual, what are they called? Corporate gig.
It was a corporate gig,
yeah. And I had to appear on stage with Rolf, and at one stage we all had to come out and wobble the wobble boards together. So I remember looking out, because I had some friends in the audience who didn't believe I was doing it. And they said, oh, mate, if you're doing it, we're going to come. So they're sitting right up the back, and I'm on stage with Rolf, who's come out like the Grim Reaper. And he's been revealed. He's lifted off and everyone's gone, oh, it's Rolf. And then we've all got the wobble boards out. And the only way I got through that gig was by the whole time looking at my wobble board and just pretending it was the check I was getting at the end.
Oh, well.
And I'd sit there and I'd smile. And it was the only way.
It's good to see you haven't allowed, advancing years to interfere with your credibility, Mick Malloy.
Absolutely.
That's what I like to see.
He did break into the room straight afterwards and told me, if you ever, ever ruin one of my gigs again, hello. Boogada, boogada, boogada,
boogada, boogada. And did he, at the end of the show, just smash the wobble board over the amp and storm off stage?
That's all that. Lots of stage diving. He stage dived, and when he emerged, his beard was gone.
Oh dear. Well, I hope we're back with a better program tomorrow, people. Why not tune in and find out for yourself? We've got to go. Thanks to our guests, Joe Elliott, Paul Keating, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be talking once again to our old buddy, funny bugger, Steve Bedwell. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.